listening to The Striking Corner.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Striking Corner. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this is episode 9 of our podcast dedicated to all things Muay Thai and kickboxing worldwide. This podcast brought to you by our good friends at Staten Island Muay Thai in New York City. And, you know, I want to get through the intro pretty quickly here. We have a great interview with Jennifer Lancier of York Muay Thai in Canada. We talk a lot about the success of Muay Thai in Canada as of late, the growth of the sport in Canada, why they've been able to really, really establish themselves as a powerhouse for Muay Thai worldwide. They have fighters such as Simon Marcus, Matt Embry, Gabriel Varga, Joseph Valtellini. Then recently they had Ashley Q out of Moz Muay Thai representing Canada in the Sport Accord Games. So they've been definitely doing really, really well. So we wanted to talk to her a little bit more about why that exactly was happening and what was the reason for the growth of Muay Thai in Canada. We also talked to her about women in Muay Thai, which I think a lot of our female listeners are going to be very interested in. So we talk about that as well. So I want to move on and do that pretty quickly. But before I go, we head over to the interview and talk with Jennifer. I want to give a shout out basically to Kat Buren Muay Thai. And you guys might not know that name, but you will know the name of the Chem 50 Kick fundraiser. If you guys have been following Muay Thai on Facebook, on the net, you guys will be seeing a lot of these videos where guys like Kevin Ross and tons of other fighters from other places are doing these fast 50 kick drills on the Thai pads with their coaches, and it's all for a good cause. Basically, the 50 kicks competition is designed to raise money for the rehabilitation and support of an ex-champion and retired Muay Thai fighter and boxing fighter from Northern Thailand, from Lana Muay Thai. All the proceeds raised from this competition are going to the rehabilitation of Kem Kyatbasuba. Listen, there are many ways to win, including the fastest kicker in the world, but there's also decent prizes for single entries that are going to be looked at by the judges as having the best form and technique. And then every individual or gym that enters the 50 kick video. So what you do is you shoot a video of yourself doing the 50 kicks. You will be eligible to win one of a number of prizes by special lottery that is drawn electronically at random. But basically, the 50 kicks is not only about having fun and getting your kicking conditioning up, but it's also about raising awareness for injured fighters all over the world. Many, many ex-fighters like Kem Kyatbasuba, their lives as an ex-champion, or even those who weren't ex-champions, have had their careers ended and, cut short suddenly, and they've basically faced the rest of their life without the bright lights of the stadiums, and it's not really a fault of their own, just through injury. And especially, we know in Thailand, a lot of these fighters come from very humble beginnings, and when they lose the chance to fight, they also lose the chance at a very steady income for themselves and their families. So the whole idea of the 50 kicks competition is to raise money for those fighters in Thailand, the fighters that have given us so much entertainment over the years. So it's to raise awareness for the injuries that can happen to them, and you know, that's what we're doing, and especially to raise money for Kem Kyatbasuba. So you guys can head to the Facebook page. The Kem 50 Kick Fundraiser is the Facebook page. And you'll see a lot more information about it there so that you guys can sign up. There's a website that you need to go to sign up, and then you can submit your video. There are a lot of really cool prizes that are being thrown around. A lot of people have donated, a lot of really top-notch Muay Thai fighters from all over the world. So you see that it's a really serious competition and a serious kind of way to unite the Muay Thai community the world over for a good cause. So really, a lot of great fighters have stepped forward to donate stuff that they're going to be giving out to the winners and different people that sign up for the competition. So right now, some of the cool prizes include a signed Boon glove by John Wayne Parr, multiple pairs of actual signed fight shorts, including fight shorts that were Cyrus Washington, Tanit Boom Watanaya, Natasha Sky. There's also gloves, t-shirts, different memorabilia, nutrition, and fight gear vouchers. Signed picks by the likes of current glory middleweight champion Joe Schilling, UK champ Liam Harrison, and John Wayne Parr and Kevin Ross have submitted videos of their 50 kicks. You guys can see those online as well. There's going to be a face-off also between UK Muay Thai sensation Iman, Pretty Face Killer Barlow, and Sweden's Joanna Rydberg. So they're going to be facing off and showing their 50 kicks. So how do you get involved? Basically, what you do is you're going to go to the website and you're going to make a minimum £2 or $3 entry fee per submission to PayPal on the official fundraiser site. The multiple gym entries are allowed. You're going to kick 50 times consecutively, of course, the Thai roundhouse kick. And make sure somebody is filming you and somebody else is holding pads for you. Submit your video entry to the 50 Kick Facebook page. Or you can upload it to YouTube with the title containing your gym name, the kicker's name, and the 50 kicks for Kem. On social media, like I said, you can check them out at Kem50Kick Fundraiser. You can also check out the hashtag 50Kicks or One World One Muay Thai. So you can go to the Facebook page like that. If you prefer to follow them on Twitter, just go to at 50Kicks. And you can enter into the competition via the Facebook hot link or even follow them if you want. You can continue to follow them, which I suggest. So also the website to get involved. Here it is. It's www.kbrnthaibox.com. And then you can, you'll be directed there to obviously the different options to find the fundraiser competition entry page. But basically the website is www.kbrnthaibox.com. And that's the people behind the 50 Kicks competition are Kite Barin Muay Thai, and they are in the UK. So definitely get involved, guys. I think they just posted on their Facebook page, Sean Fagan of the Muay Thai Guy, a good friend of ours, also does a spectacular podcast. He's also involved in it, and he pledged to do his 50 kicks. So you guys, you know, there's a lot of great fighters that are doing it and raising awareness, and it's really just a fun way to bring everybody together for a good cause inside our own Muay Thai community. So definitely check it out. All right, guys, so with that said, we're going to move on to our interview with Jennifer Lancier. We'll be with her in 1 second. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
The Striking Corner will be right back.
Hello, fight fans. Eric Rivera from The Striking Corner here, and I want to tell you about the newest gym for high-quality Muay Thai in New York, Staten Island Muay Thai. The only traditional Muay Thai gym in Staten Island, Staten Island Muay Thai offers classes for both adults and teens, as well as all levels ranging from beginners to advanced. Located at 140 Prospect Street between Van Duzer and Bay Street in Staten Island, New York. For more information, check out simuaythai.com or call 718-290-9299.
You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
Welcome back to The Striking Corner. And as I was telling you guys in the beginning of the intro and the intro of the show, we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Jennifer Lancier out of Canada. Everybody's been very happy with very intrigued by how the Canadians have been doing in the Muay Thai scene. So we're going to give our Canadian friend an awesome welcome. You know, hey, Jennifer, how are you doing? How's everything going?
Hey, how are you?
All right. So, you know, we want to talk about how, obviously the Canadians have been doing really well lately. I wouldn't say just lately, but obviously the Muay Thai scene in Canada has also always been very strong. Even, you know, when I was competing, one of the teams that we were always worried about, the teams that we were always like, you know, you have to put on your A game when you're facing them, for a lot of the American teams was always the Canadian teams. And, you know, right now it's showing in the professional ranks, obviously, Simon Marcus, Matt Embry. Then even on the kickboxing side, we have Joseph Altolini and Gabriel Varga. So, you know, give us a little bit of insight into that. I mean, first of all, I know you, Jennifer, you teach out of York Muay Thai, correct? In Toronto? Is that where it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And, you know, tell us a little background on you. I know you've trained with Ajahn Suchard from Siam Number 1. But, you know, give us a little background. Why is Canada been so, you know, proficient and become so proficient in Muay Thai? And, you know, what's the difference between that and the United States?
I think what it makes a big, big difference for the Canadians, especially the Canadians in Ontario, is the size of competition. I mean, we're really located in a hotbed of competition and talent. We have an insane number of schools in Ontario and in Toronto. Just where I'm located, there's at least like 5 to 10 gyms in the area right around me. So what happens when you have such a concentrated amount of schools in sort of one spot is we get a lot of practice. And to be good at anything, to succeed in anything, requires an immense amount of practice, especially Muay Thai. So with the Canadians, you're having gyms do inter-sparring. We're always sparring each other or traveling around to get different sparring partners. We also have a thing called demonstrations. In Muay Thai, in Ontario, we have these events that are no winner, no loser, no judges, and only a referee. And it's sort of, the idea behind it is that it's hard sparring. The degree of whether it's hard sparring towards fighting or towards a little bit more gentle sparring depends on the referee and the look and the person hosting the show. But that being said, there's demos almost every weekend. I mean, each gym has their demos once a month, sometimes once every couple months. And you're looking at having one on this weekend, one on next weekend, one the weekend after that. So there's an incredible amount of opportunities for people to practice, and it doesn't necessarily count on a sort of an official record. It's you have inter-gym sparring, you know. And the other thing that my friend crew Nick Batista of Brampton Muay Thai brought up a very good point while we were having this discussion. He said, you know, another thing that Ajahn Suchort sort of brought here was the idea of technical sparring. And technical sparring is something that requires a lot of skill, and you can't just go full board with gear and sort of beat the shit out of each other. Technical sparring has more costs to it, so you have to pick your shots, and it requires a little bit more skill. And that element of sort of sparring is really, really helps to improve the level of the fighters. It's sort of a more of a playful, strategic way of picking your shots. Because if you go full board with no gear, you're going to hurt each other. You're going to hurt yourself. So I think that is another huge asset that we have. Not only that, but also mentioning that we have really great leadership. We have, and that goes beyond Ajahn Suchort. We have quite a few other leaders. I mean, Ajahn Mike Miles in the West Coast had Muay Thai on television in the 90s. I mean, I remember just getting into Muay Thai and watching Aaron Lindley beat the crap out of somebody on I believe it was like TSN back then. So we've had a lot of exposure, and with great leaders, they're going to plant great seeds, and you know, the roots of those seeds are going to grow great trees. And I think that we've been really blessed to have really great leadership all across Canada. And then a cohesive environment where people are constantly training and constantly trying to get better. And these gyms that are so talented on an amateur level to a professional level, you have every different level of competition, which pushes all the gyms to sort of be better. I mean, the first 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when Southside went down to the TBA tournament and like swept the whole tournament and won, you know, the team trophy. I mean, the rest of the Canadian gyms were kind of like, okay, how are we going to do that? We want to be better, you know, not necessarily that we want to beat Southside. I mean, we're all very, very cool gyms with each other. No one has any sort of ill will, but it's a healthy and positive competition, competitive environment where we are now thinking, okay, you know, we got to do better. We got to one up. We got to make sure we're training harder so we can do better against these other gyms. And that's really the essence of what happens with Canadian Muay Thai and Ontario Muay Thai. And unfortunately, the States being so big, as you sort of mentioned a little bit when we were chatting, there's one or two schools, but really some of the hotspots are more New York and California, and there's more gyms in a concentrated area there. So I think that we're really fortunate to have that in Ontario, in Canada as well, because it does happen in the West Coast. And it does happen in the East Coast as well. There's gyms, there's a little concentrated pocket as well in the Maritimes, and they do very, very well as well. So it's a huge benefit for us. And I think all the Canadians would sort of agree with those elements really, really helping us get better. So that's kind of everything.
It's incredible. I mean, as I was listening to you, it's so true, because I'm going by the names that you've been talking about, Maz and Southside Muay Thai, and I've seen plenty of these guys compete and these gyms compete, and they're just so talented. And the other thing that I was thinking about also was, yeah, you're very right. I think what happens with Canada, from what I've gathered from what you've explained, is that you guys have so much talent in a small area, really, that are constantly competing with one another. But the idea of competing, I mean, what I'm saying by competing is you guys are competing, you know, in tournaments. So it's basically like steel sharpening steel. You guys are just getting better and better and playing off of each other's, you know, successes. And so, you know, you're kind of just going back and forth on who's going to beat who on the next one or who's going to challenge you on the next one. But it's all done in a friendly manner. And I think that's very, 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 very big because, you know, here, I think here in Florida and here also, especially in the States, you don't have so many gyms so close to each other, let's say in just one city like Toronto, that are able to compete that much and grow and be able to grow that amount of talent because of that. You know, I think New York has done pretty well because of the fact that they have Satan and they have, you know, in Philly, they have a bunch of gyms, and then New York, they have a bunch of gyms, and then you have Pittsburgh. So they all kind of compete on the northern East Coast. California, you know, also is doing, has been growing. It also kind of has that same factor. But everywhere else in the United States, you know, they don't have that as much. Because so what you're explaining, the same phenomenon that you're explaining is happening in Toronto and helping the Muay Thai grow in Canada to that degree is also kind of happening in, I would say, in like in California, like in Los Angeles, and then also happening on the East Coast up near New York. So I can understand that. It's definitely, you know, when you have that many good solid Muay Thai gyms around each other competing with each other, like I said, steel sharpens steel. You guys are just going to get better. But I think just Canada has been forging ahead far longer, you know, and you guys just have tons of talented people.
That, and there's quite a bit of, I mean, there are rivalry. I know everyone thinks, oh, the Canadians are all happy and they love each other every day. No, mm-hmm. There's obviously, there's rivalries. Not everybody gets along. There's drama and politics that happen in Ontario, Toronto, Muay Thai. Absolutely, like it happens. However, it's not done in a sort of hateful manner. It's more done in a, you take care of your stuff, I'll take care of my stuff. You know, it's not, there's not as much, like there is ego associated with it, but I don't feel like there's as much. And I feel like a part of that is just because if people are so busy building their own, they're not going to be so concerned with what everyone else is doing. And I know when Simon's training for a fight, he's thinking about his fight. And congrats, by the way, Simon and Matt both won their fights yesterday or last weekend in China. They both fought recently, so they did very, very well. I just wanted to shout them out and say congrats. But yeah, so there's definitely other elements that happen here, but I think it's done in a little bit more of, like you said, just keeping the competition going rather than worrying and sort of engaging more into the political side of things. We're all sort of just focused on making our own pie, you know? Mm-hmm.
It always goes down to, I think, friendly competition, friendly rivalry, especially in Muay Thai, which is a sport that I always like to tell people, and especially I tell students, you know, it should be a lot more devoid of the ego and just be focusing on getting better and better and better, because, I mean, that's kind of how they do it in Thailand. You know, you have one fighter sitting next to another fighter right before the fight, and, you know, it's not like they're talking shit to each other, you know? They're very focused on just, you know, doing what they need to do and consistently getting better, you know? And I think Canada in a lot of ways has gotten that down. Obviously, you know, I guess there's more drama than, you know, we would like to think they are. I've always kind of gone along with that. I think, you know, when I see your gyms and guys are all kind of seem like you guys are all good friends with each other. Here, I wouldn't say that there's so many gyms that shit on each other, but there is a lot of like talk behind the scenes that, you know, that even though they're friendly, there's just a lot of like hidden rivalries there and they're not always too well off and stuff like that. So it happens. I guess it happens in Canada too. You guys aren't all as nice as you seem, I guess. So, but
I mean, obviously, there's still politics everywhere you go.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally understand that. I mean, that's going to happen, especially in the fight game, because there's so much on the line, really, when you get in the ring, that stuff's going to creep in. But, you know, moving on from there, Jen, I mean, I wanted to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about something that I know is very important to you, which is definitely the growth of the female Muay Thai, the growth of women in Muay Thai. And so we will be right back with Jennifer Lancier here on The Striking Corner.
The Striking Corner will be right back.
Hello, Eric Rivera from The Striking Corner. And are you interested in advertising your product, your service, your gym, or an upcoming event on the next episodes of The Striking Corner? Then all you have to do is contact us at info@thestrikingcorner.com. Once again, that's info@thestrikingcorner.com. Advertise your product or service to hundreds of fight fans all across the United States. All you have to do is contact us at info@thestrikingcorner.com for more information and details.
You are listening to Eric Rivera on The Striking Corner.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Striking Corner. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and we are here with Jennifer Lancier from Canada. She is the crew at York Muay Thai in Toronto. And we wanted to talk a little bit about a subject that's, you know, come up a lot recently. And it's definitely the, obviously, we've seen a lot of talk in the media of the growth of female MMA and women in MMA, such as Ronda Rousey and Miesha Tate. But also what's going on right now with the growth of Muay Thai around the world. Also the growth of female Muay Thai and women in Muay Thai. And there are a lot of talented Muay Thai fighters all over the world that happen to be women. And one of those, also Jennifer Lancier, was a fighter herself. She competed against American fighter Katie the Killer Meehan. She's fought against Misty Sutherland, also Vivian Leung. So Jennifer, I mean, Muay Thai is growing all over the world. It's just something that we're all happy about. And now, obviously, the women are getting recognized in the sport of Muay Thai. We've seen a lot of it grow in MMA as well, the focus on women. But, it's still, for guys, we're going to say, you know, they're getting their fair share. They're getting their due. And what would you say to that? I mean, do you feel that that's true?
Like they deserve the recognition?
And that they're getting their fair share of recognition? Or you still think, there's a lot more to get?
No, I think that there's, I mean, I've been in it for about 15 years. And when I started, Muay Thai was like a Yeti living in the hillside that you heard of, but you didn't quite know what it was. And I think I got a fight once a year for like the first 3 or 4 years. There was like two girls in my gym, and and now, I mean, we have gyms that have like that boast like 40-50% female enrollment. You've got what's going on Tough right now. It's Miesha Tate versus Ronda Rousey, and they're coaches, and they're doing their own show, and it's amazing. I don't know how overdue it is or if it's just at the right time, but either way, whatever it is, it's awesome. It's great to see. And I'm sure it'll keep getting bigger because, I mean, with monster athletes like Miriam Nakamoto and just speaking about Muay Thai, Jermaine Durandami was in Muay Thai prior to going into MMA, and even Tiffany, who is just like, she's just destroying people, it's amazing. It's awesome. And guys, even my students are like, I can't wait to see Tiffany fight, or I can't wait to see. And that's really when you know that something's changing, when they're like, I can't wait to see Ronda Rousey fight. I don't care about this dude or this dude so much. I really want to see that female fight. That's a really powerful thing that we're able to do. And I think they deserve all the credit that's coming to them. And I think it's I don't know if it's about time. I'm just happy it's happening.
Well, definitely. I mean, and there's a lot of talented female fighters. Obviously, you've been mentioning Tiffany Van Soest, obviously there was the Julie Kitchen and Miriam Nakamoto rivalry, and then it's really growing. A good friend of mine, Kate Allen, she just fought recently. She's an amateur, but she just fought recently, and she's always very vocal on trying to get more attention onto women in Muay Thai, and I think she does. And then Phoenix Carnevale, who's a good friend of mine, she's very into MMA, but she's also been a voice for Muay Thai. I've done commentary with her, so I think it's really growing. But I mean, there's this other thing, and I've seen a lot of it on like when I go online and I go on Facebook and I see my female friends talk about Muay Thai or talk about fighting. And then I see a lot of things that they're unhappy about, that it seems like that us as men, a lot of times we as guys, we're a sucker for a pretty face. So what happens is a lot of times men and a lot of times the mainstream, they're going to focus on the fact that a lot of these fighters, okay, she's a good looking fighter. She's a pretty fighter. And they're focusing on the more sexualized aspect of it. And, a lot of women are like, well, why don't you guys focus on the fact that they're amazing fighters? I mean, I remember I posted something. It was about Jemima Batrion, and she's a very talented Dutch fighter. And I don't know, I would just, you know, I had posted that she was, you know, really, really good looking and that she was very attractive. And I, another female friend of mine or somebody that had commented that is a fighter kind of came down on me. Is like, why don't you recognize that she's a great fighter? And you're, you know, you're just talking about her looks and da da da. So, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, it's been some women are kind of unhappy that it's been kind of over-sexualized. I mean, I honestly, there was actually another funny thing that I wanted to add to here, but there was a huge sort of a controversy. This is more in the jiu-jitsu world, but with Keira Gracie, she was like, you know, obviously one of the best in the from the Gracie family. She posed kind of half naked wearing her gi top, you know, and a lot of her gi top and her, you know, her belt, but, you know, she was kind of, you know, she was kind of naked from the waist down, or she was just wearing like a bikini bottom. And a lot of guys, I mean, a lot of people took a big time offense to that because it was, you know, sexualizing this very, you know, traditional martial art. But what do you think about all that stuff? I mean, is that what it takes?
Well, I mean, I don't complain when Anahuat is standing in front of me in tie shorts, ripped to shreds, oiled up in liniment. I don't complain that Joe Valentini happens to be a very attractive guy when he's in the ring. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, Joe's amazing. And you know, I don't think it's wrong that I say he's attractive. We are females and we're fit when we're in fight mode. And a lot of the women, Gina Carano, you know, there's so many out there, Miriam, like Julie, there's just so many that are really beautiful girls. And I don't think there's anything wrong with admiring them and thinking they're beautiful. However, I also think that traditional martial arts, you know, Muay Thai, in some places, you're still not allowed to go in the ring in Thailand today in 2013. It was only in the 50s and 60s, maybe, that you were even starting to see female Muay Thai fighters. So, you know, and so you fight so hard to get to this place where you can be on UFC and be recognized for your skill, or you make it so far for that first person in Thailand, that first lady to get in that ring in Thailand. And what I don't understand as a woman who's done this martial art is what's the rush to taking the clothes off once you've achieved this massive thing that you've wanted to achieve for hundreds of years? Like, why is it that, you know, the minute we get our first belt, we're like, someone's like, hey, let's take a picture of you. I have an idea. Let's do it in a bikini with your belt stripped right across your boobs. And they're like, yeah, let's do that. Why? Because we like to be attractive. Of course, we're women. However, it does bother me sometimes. I don't understand why we can't just be revered or looked up to for our skills. It's fine to be pretty, but is it necessary to really go that route? And I mean, it's really not your decision or my decision or the public's decision. It ends up coming down to the person themselves. And I mean, it's no different in Hollywood, right? There's Hollywood actresses that are always half naked in Maxim. And then you have the ones that don't do that, that don't go that route. And it's personal choice. And I respect anyone's personal choice. For me personally, if someone was to say to me, hey, can we take a photo shoot? I kind of want it to be sexy. I'd be like, you get sexy or you get Muay Thai. You don't get both. Because we didn't struggle. I didn't go through 15 years of getting one fight a year because there were no women and having to spar dudes like big like Simon at sign number one for, you know, all I had was dudes and a couple of girls. But, you know, I didn't struggle to go through that to make it to get my first belt and all of a sudden rip my clothes off and have everybody think I'm hot. You know, my skills, whether they're good or bad, they don't change whether I'm attractive. But popularity is a big issue. And I think that is where this angle comes from. It's really like the women that do it, they'll defend themselves by saying, well, it's my body. There's nothing wrong with it. And I actually, one successful pro female fighter admitted it and said, yeah, we know she's beautiful and it helps her. She makes more money by being popular and attractive. So we're going to keep doing it so we can make more money. And that's what I have problems with. Nobody got into fighting and getting their teeth knocked out to make a lot of money. People, unless we're talking Muay Thai, you know, Joe Valentini's posted a status the other day that said he can't believe that he's made it this far. Like, holy crap, because he wasn't training in a gym 6 years ago or however long ago, make a lot of money. He did it because he loved it. And I bet if you ask any of these women, whether it's the hottest ones to the ones that aren't as hot, they got into it for the same reason. So why does that reason have to change when you make it? Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. And that's like me saying, I opened my gym so I could make a lot of money. Well, I'm not the smartest person in the world. However, I'm pretty sure that if I wanted to make a lot of money, opening a Muay Thai school in a highly densely populated area like Toronto probably wouldn't be the right way to go about it if I wanted to make $1 million.
Correct.
So, yeah. You know, if you want to be a famous actress, go be a famous actress. If you want to go be a model, go be a model. But if you want to be a Muay Thai fighter, be a Muay Thai fighter. And, you know, I don't hate on any of the girls that do that, but my question is, why do they need that extra validation on top of on top of just being awesome?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess some of the arguments would be, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate, but a lot of the arguments that I've heard and things like that, and some of the women will even say it, is because we're trying to celebrate that you can be both sexy and be tough. But at the same time, I can see that other women take that as like, yeah, but there's no reason you can show that in just being a, I think you and I were talking about it a while back also, that you were saying that, there were a couple pictures that were taken by, Awakening, you know, this Awakening, and they were taken of Lena, I kill her last name, but of Kinkova or whatever her name is, the Ukrainian girl. And she was just basically, you know, they took pictures of her. I mean, she's a gorgeous girl, but they took pictures of her basically in her Muay Thai shorts and basically her top. And she was just wearing her trainers, you know, wearing her running shoes. And she was just shown like kind of shadow boxing and everything. And honestly, to me, that was super attractive. She looked even, you know, she looked super sexy, but she wasn't even like showing a lot of skin in a way, you know, and I don't think it's, I understand why they do it. And yes, as a guy, sometimes it's attractive to see a girl like, I don't know, like Misha Tate or whatever, but I guess their explanation sometimes is, oh, you know, we do it because we want to show that we can both be pretty and, you know, and powerful. But I mean, does that fly with you?
But that's like pretty extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we can be pretty and we can be devastating. Doesn't mean I have to go do a Playboy spread for Muay Thai Authority or Muay Thai. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a difference. Like, you know, when I saw Lena that post, and I remember us having that conversation, mm-hmm. and I remember saying to you, like, oh, I respect so much that she is attractive. There's nothing wrong with being beautiful mm-hmm. and being a martial artist. It's the bomb. It's awesome mm-hmm. when you can say, when you're like, you know, yeah, like when Gina Carano finally got into that movie, Haywire, is that what it was called?
Yeah, Haywire.
Yeah, and I mean, she can kick ass and she happens to be hot. I mean, nobody's hating on that. However, why can't we just do it the way Lena did? Why does it have to go to the complete opposite end of the scale? Do you know? Because there's costs to going to that opposite end of the scale,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a cost to people only looking at you for your looks.
So in your opinion, basically, you know, and I just want to get a better idea of it, but, and I think I'm understanding you in a way, you feel that, okay, we took so long to get to this point, right? The women took so long to get to this point to be respected. But then now the minute you sort of take off all your clothes and, you know, I don't want to, you know, Julie Goodkitchen is a good friend of mine, but you know, we mentioned her and I remember one of the posts, one of her pictures is kind of, I think she's basically naked, but she's covered by all her belts, you know? And I mean, do you think that kind of goes back to going the other way? Now you're kind of, okay, we got all the respect because we're awesome fighters, but now we're losing respect and they're just looking at us as a sexual object. Does it lose it a little bit?
I don't know if I go that far with it because mm-hmm. skills are undeniable. And that's the yeah. beautiful thing about Muay Thai, right? Mm-hmm. So no one's going to discredit someone that has achieved 14 world championships or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's achieved them. If you know, so I understand that. I don't think it's necessary. Because if you think of martial art, just what martial art is about, which is your development, you're humble, you're focused, you're dedicated, you're working on the correct things, you're focusing on the right things. And I think that the minute it stretches too far out of that realm, yeah, it's in danger. It's in danger of people seeing it a different way and you know, starting to sort of, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch this girl, she's hot. Oh yeah, she's a really good fighter. Yeah, I don't care, she's hot. Well, you know, and I think the only way that we can sort of keep this contained and still continue to prove that we are capable of being high level martial artists and capable of doing what the guys do and being on UFC and so and such, I think there's still limits that I think would help us maintain that sort of respect from everybody. You know, I think that, I mean, this can happen in any, you know, there's firefighter calendars. My sister's a firefighter and there's calendars of the fire women and the firemen stretched out half naked on, yeah. on, you know, and it's okay. It's just, to what degree do you have to go? So my sister did a calendar shoot not long ago, and it's, she's got makeup on. She looks absolutely stunning, but she is in bunker gear, head to toe with her hat on, and she looks stunning. And it's the same sort of concept as Lena. Is it really necessary for us to show everybody else, like little girls, make it to where I am, because then you'll be want, you'll be desired because you're hot.
True.
Rather than, you know, make it to where I am because the journey to get here was freaking awesome. And I changed tenfold as a person. And I've influenced little girls to know that when they're the only girl in the all boys Muay Thai class, that they can still be a champion. They can still, you know, they don't have to shy away from it. And so I just think that there's a cost to how far we go with everything. I don't think it's wrong to be sexy or to take photos where you're attractive or to wear makeup. I'm not saying that Muay Thai, female Muay Thai fighters have to be like ugly trolls. I just think that if we sort of remembered why we're here in the first place, it might be a little bit more beneficial to the entire culture of females in Muay Thai. It grinds my gears. I don't know why. I mean, again, I don't have a problem looking at them. They're beautiful. They're talented. I think Miri Nakamoto is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. I love her as a fighter, but I love her as a fighter. She happens to be beautiful. That's secondary, but I love watching her fight. Valentina Shevchenko, same thing. She's a devastating fighter, but she happens to be an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. It's secondary is all I'm saying, not primary. It shouldn't be like, oh yeah, Gina Carano. Oh yeah, she's hot. I do. Blah, blah. It should be Gina Carano's a great fighter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's super hot. Mm-hmm. You know, I look up, I don't think Bukau's attractive. A lot of my friends do, but I think Anawat is beautiful. I don't look at him and go, oh yeah, Anawat, just, you know, he's an incredible fighter first. And that's all I mean, is that when the focus shifts to people knowing you only because you're attractive and not because of your skills, that's when I think we're going the other direction.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think I can agree with that. I mean, like I said, I mean, a lot of times as a guy, I'm going to look at it and be, you know, she's an attractive girl. And obviously a lot of times guys are going to look at that. I think it's going to happen first. I mean, I was, you know, while you were talking, I was just like remembering, because I remember recently watching, and I have the YouTube video open here, but it's basically, I was looking at the comments on a Miesha Tate versus Ronda Rousey fight. And I can tell you, I mean, there is, if you look up that fight online, you go to YouTube or whatever, and you look at each one of the posts, I think there is no post that is actually about the fight. I think the entire posts are just a bunch of guys being really, you know, I would say, you know, just really kind of fraternity guys, frat kind of talk, and just talking about how much they want, you know, Ronda or Miesha to put them in a triangle, that kind of bullshit, you know? So, I mean, and the thing is, in that actual video, they're fighting. Neither one of them is being, you know, being overtly sexual or anything like that. They're actually beating the shit out of each other. So, I mean, do you think, I know it's unfortunate, and I'm speaking as a guy, but do you think that's going to, how would that change? How would that mentality change? Or is it just always going to be there, unfortunately? You know,
I wonder if those are the same guys that make douchebag comments about other stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Is it just a culture of idiots? Mm-hmm. Or is it that, because I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you, and I know a whole slew of other guys in martial arts that would be like, yeah, she's beautiful, but she's really, really good too. Mm-hmm. You know? And so is it that there's, is it just the culture of the viewers? I mean, is it an issue that's happening? You know, are we influencing it to that degree or not? I don't know. I mean, women are always going to be sexualized to a point. I mean, mm-hmm. We see it everywhere. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in other professions, you know? So I don't think it's something that we can ever say is going to go away, but I think we can definitely help. I think that more photo shoots like Lena's are going to help. I mean, I'm not saying never do it, but the more that we're fighting and we're talented, the better chance we have. But I mean, As to whether it's going to go away or whether it's going to get better, probably not. I mean, it's been happening. I mean, there's even issues with kids in private schools wearing schoolgirl uniforms in private schools, because those are getting over sexualized too. So it's more than likely the culture of how the world's going versus just whether the women are making it all happen themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing stopping a guy from watching Julie Kitchen and then saying she's really beautiful after. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you were saying, But I mean, let's look up. I mean, it would be interesting to see if we could look up another video that had nothing to do with fighters. And would they make the same douchebag comments? Probably.
They definitely would. I mean, to be honest with you, I saw the other one, which the other video I viewed, you know, before discussing this topic with you. And the other another video was that I guess the UFC or somebody had posted up the weigh-in of the recent weigh-in of Miesha Tate and Kat Zingano. And, you know, when they fought in the UFC and pretty much all the comments were the same type of crap. I mean, it had nothing to do with that here. They're weighing in or they're really in shape. You know, it just happened to be that, you know, these two girls, I mean, they're weighing in. Number one, I don't know. They both weighed in bikinis. So that kind of maybe not didn't help the situation. But, you know, they, you know, basically all the comments are basically the same type of crap. You would wonder, are those people that are commenting fighters? Maybe some of them are, maybe some of them aren't. You know, I know that I've trained with plenty of women and, you know, you're probably not going to say those comments when they can kick your ass, you know, and you respect them because they're good. And then they become friends and you're not going to treat them like that, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's ever going to change. So moving on from there, what I would want to ask you is this. I mean, what would you or what do you say to the young women that train at your gym that are looking forward to making a career out of Muay Thai? I mean, what is the advice that you would give them? Do you ever bring it up at all, or do you just focus on the Muay Thai skill, on learning?
No, I don't ever. I mean, I don't ever talk to women at my school about anything aside from their skill. I have girls that train in sports bras. I have girls that walk around after class, some scantily clad here and there, from time to time, and that's their prerogative. I don't say, oh, you shouldn't do that or this or that. I mean, it's the same way I wouldn't, you know, say, oh, I hate this person because they're posing like this. But for me, when I go to a weigh-in, I wear a sports bra and nylon tie shorts. And I don't know where we got into bikinis, but I also don't appreciate it when the dudes are wearing like bikini cut underwear. Like, I don't like that either. Why is that necessary? Really? Like, is this a fashion show? Are you proud that you worked on your, like your body looks the way it is? Because that's another reason. A lot of, like when I trained and fought and I was in top shape, I didn't care, man. Like I didn't weigh in or anything like that in anything inappropriate, but I definitely got more confident with my body, you know, in the change room. I wasn't hiding anymore. I wasn't walking around the gym half naked, but I mean, I definitely got more confident. So maybe that's a part of it. Maybe through this process, these women are getting confident and they're saying, hey, you know what? I bust my ass in the gym. One of the byproducts of busting my ass is that I look really good. So I'm going to show it off, and all the power to them. But again, we're not talking about a famous snowboarder or skier. We're talking about something that has principles, morals, integrity, and that is built upon an entire culture of people that struggled to maintain and claim Muay Thai as their own. And people need to remember that sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Go back and look up the history of Thailand and what happened. You know, there's an entire country that struggled through Vietnam, through Burma, Laos, that fought everything around them, so, and then claimed Muay Thai as their own through this process. And we're just going to forget about that and be like, yeah, what? I look hot. I think it comes down to us remembering what we're here for, because it's very easy to be a comedian and make it to the top and forget that you just wanted to make people laugh. You know, it's, and this is a problem that happens everywhere. It has nothing, it's not just females in Muay Thai, it's everywhere. So I would tell those girls in my gym, just train for the purpose that you're here to be better every day. That's it. Your job in Muay Thai is to be better than you were the day before. It's your job in life, not just in Muay Thai. However, at my school, that's the first thing we have written on our board. Do something every day to be better than the day before. So when it comes down to Muay Thai, that's their only job. I don't treat the women any different. If I see a girl that I know is capable of doing push-ups on her arms and not her knees, and she's doing them on her knees, I'll go get up. Do them on your feet, because I know you can. Do them properly, and they will. So they get no special treatment from me, and I don't, you know, if they're pretty or you know, no, that's not even spoken about, because we're here to learn Muay Thai, to be the best we can be in it, and where that takes us, we don't know. But it's definitely not about anything else. Mm-hmm. Even if your body looks awesome, that's great. Go to the beach in your bikini, not a weigh-in. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. No, and definitely. I mean, I'm getting, I agree with you, you know, and I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I'm pretty sure A lot of women agree also. And I mean, I'm also sure that you're going to get people that are going to say, oh, you know, it's not a big deal or whatever. But, you know, I mean, it is. I don't know if it's ever going to get any better, but I do think that you're right. You know, in a lot of ways, so women can help that by not trying to, you know, I guess pose that always have to go out and pose like super sexual or whatever. But I think it still happens because at the end, you know, a woman's got a right to do whatever she wants. But
Of course. Mm-hmm. And that's the only disturbing thing is that if the motivating force behind it is to be popular and make more money, then go F yourself, because that's not what Muay Thai is about. I don't know who taught you that, but go back and ask Nakanon Tom what Muay Thai is about.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it wasn't so that when he beat 10 warriors in a row, he could go to the beach and show off his body. You know what I'm saying? So, and I mean, is that really the women's fault? Is it the trainers? Is it the culture? Is it the fact that as it gets passed down, it's getting passed down, you know, like broken telephone? Is it just up to self-responsibility? Like, I don't know where it comes from, but I know that anytime you fall too far from the tree, you're best to just go back to the root. And that's all I think people need to do is remember it, but this goes right across the board. Work, love, relationship, doesn't matter. Why did you start this to begin with? And are you in line with what your purpose was originally for? So, you know, if it's that girl that is trying to over-sexualize herself and make it more popular by posting pictures of herself with pigtails and a little boo-boo look on her face while she's wearing tie shorts, that might not be the reason why you started fighting. It's not wrong that you want to behave that way, but let's go back to why you started fighting and how hard it was, because every woman has a story in Muay Thai. Almost every woman struggled to get where they are. And I'm pretty sure Julie went through it, possibly Miriam, you know, everyone goes through their shit as a fighter to make it. The men do too. So, you know, if there's a guy like in UFC that's just talking mad shit to get popular, people call him out on him all the time. I mean, I don't know very many UFC names because I don't like UFC particularly for this reason, but you'll see a guy just talking shit, just being crazy and stupid, and he gets popular and everybody's talking about him and he gets a contract because he's popular. Well, what about if he sucks as a fighter? That becomes secondary. So it's no different with the ladies. And I think that overall, everyone will do what they do, but remember why you got into it in the first place and try to, you know, do it for the reasons that you got into it. And if you want to be a model, go be a model.
A lot of knowledge being dropped here, definitely about females in Muay Thai. And I really want to thank you for joining us today on the Striking Corner. I'm sure a lot of people really like the show. I thought we went into a lot of really, really important topics that are kind of at the forefront right now in the discussions in Muay Thai, especially the growth of Canada, which you are definitely a big part of, females in Muay Thai and the growth of females in Muay Thai. So I want to thank you again for stopping by and speaking with us. And thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Okay, so that's it, everybody, for this edition of the podcast. We want to thank Jennifer Lancier of York Muay Thai. We had an awesome discussion with her about Canadian Muay Thai as well as women in Muay Thai. So you know what? For all the female listeners out there, I know there's been a lot of discussion lately about Muay Thai and women in different combat sports online. A couple of female friends of mine have been discussing that, and so that's why it was one of the reasons why I decided to talk to Jennifer and get her point of view on it. So, you know, hit me up, girls. Let me know. Ladies, hit me up. You can hit us up at info@thestrikingcorner.com or also check out the Facebook page, Muay Thai is Life, facebook.com/Muay Thai is Life, and leave a comment there on what you thought about the podcast. If you agree or disagree with Jen's statements, you know, we could start the discussion there. But I think it's a really pertinent discussion now that Muay Thai is growing, and especially women are doing such a great job in the Muay Thai scene. So, you know, any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always hit us up there at info@thestrikingcorner.com or on facebook.com/Muay Thai is Life. So I want to thank Jennifer Lancier once again for, you know, taking time out of her busy schedule of teaching over at York Muay Thai and speaking with us. Also, guys, remember, don't forget to go over to the Chem 50 Kick Fundraiser Facebook page or check them out online to join up with the whole movement of the 50 Kick competition. Remember, you just got to kick. You're going to do roundhouse kicks 50 times with a pad holder. Film it. put it up online, you know, win a couple prizes. If you don't win a couple prizes, it doesn't matter. You're doing it all for a good cause. So definitely check that out. As always, guys, you can always check us out on MuayThaiIsLife.com/The Striking Corner. You can also check out, obviously, the official website, which is MuayThaiIsLife.com. We are on Facebook, Facebook.com/MuayThaiIsLife, which is probably the most active hub of all our followers. You can also check us out on Twitter at MuayThaiIsLife. And if you want to listen to The Striking Corner, we are available on Stitcher Radio. We are available on iTunes. We are also available on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/The Striking Corner. And I've been putting in an application to basically be on iHeartRadio Talk. We'll see how that goes. But so far, it looks like I'll get it eventually. I just need to keep on plugging away at it. But that'll give another option to be heard and to continue to grow the podcast. So, you know, bottom line, though, I want to give everybody a huge thanks. The podcast has been growing. You know, listen, guys, I don't do this for money. There's barely any money in the whole Muay Thai scene, at least for these websites and blogs and things like that. You know, my goal is eventually to hopefully become a huge hub for Muay Thai and news. And that's the growth. That's the idea, is to continue to grow. But right now, you know, I just make enough money to kind of hold, make sure the website stays alive, you know, in a way, to pay for server fees and the domain. And really, that's all that's kind of helping me out. But I have a day job, so that helps out cover those costs as well. But I'm in it for the love. And, you know, I think a lot of people, I thank you guys, because it seems like you guys have noticed that. You know, when I can post, I post. When I can't, you know, unfortunately, I just can't because of the day job. But I really do love this, and I see that you guys are appreciating my work, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy to come off like that, and I'm happy to continue to work for you guys and just the growth of the sport. So I'm really happy about the support, and I really thank all of you for the support. Hit me up, info@thestrikingcorner.com. Hit me up, Eric@MuayThaiIsLife.com. So that's about it, guys. I thank you guys for tuning in. Remember, this is The Striking Corner, Episode 9, and this was brought to you by our good friends at Staten Island Muay Thai in New York City, your only traditional Muay Thai gym on Staten Island. So definitely check them out. You can check them out at simuaythai.com. And that's about it, guys. I thank you very much for listening. We will speak again very soon and have another very special guest. Tons of great people coming out to help out on the show and talk to us a little bit more about their experience in Muay Thai. So I hope that this just continues to grow, continues to flourish, and a lot of it continuing to grow and flourish is coming from your support. So I thank you very much for that, and I will talk to you guys soon. Thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.